try to tell them we up next. You can't stop that. This your favorite podcast. Every show is lit, baby. You know what we finna do. Slick gon' talk that slick talk. He gon' get political. Okay. Do not switch topics. Nope. Niggas is toxic.
Poppy shots don't always say it's something wrong. But
if you don't like it, what we saying, nigga, oh well. We try to tell you, baby, this might not go well. This might not go. Hey, that's it. One take. We're not even doing it again. Keep that. That's the one.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of This Might Not Go Away. Yeah, episode 156. We in the building. You already know who it is. It's the host with the most, B Breezy, aka Poppy Sazon.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Slick Grayson. How y'all doing out there?
You know what you got to do. Please download the Alive Podcast app on iOS or Android, and please follow us on social media at This Might Not Go Well. If any branded deals, business opportunity, please email us at thismightnotgowell@gmail.com. All right, episode 156. How you doing this week, brother?
I'm good, bro. First of all, fuck daylight savings. I like the sun being up and shit, but I just can't seem to figure out my wake up cycle. So until I do, fuck daylight savings.
Now we lit, baby. Come on now. New York, the weather's nice. Niggas shit past 6 or 7 o'clock, the sun is out, gang. We lit.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that part. I think that part is cool, but I'm just like, yo, the wake up in the morning be rough. But
oh yeah.
Moving to that, I got some good news. I was preparing myself for bad news, and it came out really good. And I was, my girl maybe reminds myself, like, I always think the worst of every situation. That's probably held me back from a lot of space and made me, like, overly cautious or, like, overly pessimistic. But it was nice to really be, I guess, for, like, maybe only the second time in, like, the last 2, 3, 4 years be genuinely surprised at a result, even though it was something I worked for a little bit or I knew I needed. So just the results of that and everything has really got me in a good space. Plus my birthday next week, so about to be old.
You ready? Nah, fuck out of gunshot. Big Slick's B day next week, you heard?
So you know,
now, once again, my man is engaged, so do not send him no nudes. Do not follow him, you thirst buckets. Well, you can follow me and send me those nudes in the honor of his birthday, by the way.
Yeah, B can be my proxy. Y'all can have all of those. But, yeah, bro, so just, like, it's a good way to kind of – I feel like last birthday I got good news I wasn't expecting, and this year's birthday, same thing. So it's, like, a lot of doors are opening, and I'm just like, yeah, it's a vibe. It's a vibe on this side. But how you feeling, my guy?
Oh man, I'm feeling better. I don't know if I'm like, what's that word when you like, when you know when people like think they're sick because they've been told they're sick but they're not really sick.
Oh, that shit, that's like that, the not placebo effect, but I know what you're talking about, like the shit.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like I've been talking so much about sad and like the daylight saving shit. And now that it's here and I guess it's more sunny, I've been feeling a bit better. So I'm gonna take it. If this is the effect, I'm gonna take this effect. This week has been good. And also I just knew I have to step my game up. Like I don't, just like how you, like how you think sometimes we gotta give ourselves grace. I know we talked about this previous episodes ago, but like just a little bit about career, I ain't know that. I've been doing a lot of shit. And I'm like, yo, Brian, you're really on top of it. And then it's like people are dependent on you to be elite. So it's kind of like, damn, I can't do the whole flying under the radar. I got to put myself in that uncomfortable position to grow. So, you know, keep growing, young man. Keep growing for all my fellas out there. Get yourself in that uncomfortable position and keep growing, bro. Keep adding more and keep accelerating, bro. Come on now, because life can drag you down with a whole bunch of other stuff, expenses alone. If you are able to get up and able to do what you got to do, bro, pat yourself on the back. For women and men.
That's a Fendi.
All righty, man. Let's get to the news. Sad news. I'm going to need you to pronounce the name because I know I'm going to butcher the shit out of it.
R.I.P. to Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball and all its associated anime, manga, and honestly, one of the godfathers of anime, bro. This was a this one hurt.
Bro. I was lost for words, and then you know what? I am so happy that he was loved basically by all corners of this earth. I hear like the cartels in Mexico because you cease fire, but that was because they used to play Dragon Ball Z there, and all the young dudes who are not in the cartel watched it. And then even in like China, they mourned the loss. Like he was like almost mad different countries honored his passing. So it was kind of like I was sad, but I'm also was touched by how much a creator like him was able to affect the world through anime.
Bro, it's crazy because it's like, again, we said we came up in a generation where it wasn't cool to watch anime, but then everybody liked Dragon Ball. Nobody ever fronted on Dragon Ball. That's the one, if you say anime, for people that's non-initiated, like that's where it starts. And I think it was just the beauty of the storytelling. It's not the greatest narrative. Like, we all know, we got our memes, Goku a shitty dad, Vegeta got little man syndrome, Gohan should be the best. Like, but everybody got a Dragon Ball story. We all had the games. You all used to come home after school and watch it. Yo, we used to watch Tsunami, and it was on Saturdays. Man, go, even now, the games is
nigga,
crazy.
I got the bootleg version of the shit when they unlock all the characters and all that other stuff.
Dragon
and
Ball.
And you had like,
Bro, so I think it's just one of those things. Like any nigga, I talk about Dragon Ball. I don't care. I would leave a party to go watch a new movie or a new episode. So definitely, even though we lost him at age 68, the impact of his art is still felt. And I think it's dope that before he left, he saw how important he was because Dragon Ball had a revival. He brought a new series back. He got another series about to drop. He found a protege who's been doing the artwork for the actual manga for Dragon Ball Super. So it's not the end. And even if they decide to, in his honor, stop where they are with it and do like little in-between stuff, it's like they filled in a lot of gaps for us. It's dope. So definitely it's RIP to Mr. Toriyama. And thank you for just creating something that I think for me, it was that empowering. Just that was my childhood, legitimately. And everything else kind of spiraled from there. So shout out to Mr. Toriyama for just, you know, leaving behind a wonderful legacy.
And it's like so different. Like, quick question: what was your favorite era of Dragon Ball? Would you go Dragon Ball Teen Goku? Would you go Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super?
My favorite,
even the uncanon version when you know Super Saiyan 4.
Oh, technically they said that's canon. They said GT is canon, but it's a what's it called? It's a multiversal story. My favorite saga, I think the best saga for me was probably the Buu saga. But my favorite plot was like just the Cell games, because that Gohan's my favorite character in anime. So the fact that I got to see him like get his power and like really go hard but still make mistakes, that was the first time he embraced that side of himself. I think that was probably the most memorable. But I think the Buu saga, like you got the best transformations, and Buu was just like he was one right with them. Like, oh, word, you got a power up. I got a power. He actually destroyed the earth. He killed everybody. Like Buu really was the one he put on the show. He was so ill, they had to reincarnate him. So I think that's probably the best saga from beginning to end. But Cell Games probably was the best fight for me that I can still watch to this day. What about you?
Man. I would have to go with the Frieza saga. And it was more so for Vegeta. I always had a soft spot for Vegeta because I just felt like he was so misunderstood. And, you know, he just had a lot of pressure of just trying to carry the pride of the Saiyan race. And then when he died, but before he died, he gave that emotional speech like, this is the man who basically blew up and killed our whole legacy. Kakarot, you gotta avenge us, sort of thing. And that's when Kakarot turned Super Saiyan. Like, nigga, I cried. I don't care, nigga. What? Wait, when he killed Krillin?
Oh, he violated Krillin. Krillin died every arc. Krillin died every other arc. That's why I just be like, damn, nigga, you died in Dragon Ball. You died like twice in Dragon Ball Z. Died in GT. He just only thing he didn't die in was Super, I don't think.
Oh yeah, I don't think so either.
He ain't dying, but Super. Yeah, they killed everybody else. Frieza killed everybody else.
But he got a bad one though.
He did get a bad one. You knew it's a bad one when any of the, this is too much. This might not go. You know you got a bad one when the hentai sites is always the one they use.
Now you got, you know, you got a bad one when you made her from a robot to actual human.
She's,
you know,
a cyborg. She's fine. A cyborg. She's got enhancements. She's not really a robot. She because she had a baby and they still never really explained that. They just like, I'm a human.
No,
just,
he wished her.
Nah, they said no. They said no. They just took a bomb on her chest. So it's like they just enhanced her body, but she still had her lady parts. I wonder if she had a period. That's interesting. That'd
be stupid. And then also, I would give a special shout out to the Dragon Ball Super Saga when that Ultra Instinct was fire. I think that was a great addition to just one of the versions of Goku.
Yeah.
And also, we got to talk about the drip. Dragon Ball Z, Trunks, I felt like shit was fire, bro.
Started, he was wearing
crop jackets. Even when Goku came back from that alien planet after beating Frieza.
Oh, Yardrag. Drip. Yeah, nah. I'm about to say. Yeah, nah, Dragon Ball is it, bro. I like, y'all spent 10 minutes talking about it. That's what we did. So we could spend the whole episode talking about Dragon Ball.
That's a fact.
It's funny, though, because I was like, I just really got back into catching up on anime. So, like, I was just literally, before I got on here, I was watching Demon Slayer, like, because I never sat down and watched after season one. I knew what happens. Like, I know the manga and the story, but I never sat down and just, like...
I know we talked about Solo Leveling. Yo, we didn't talk about the podcast, but that shit fire. Amazing. But have you watched Ninja Commune?
Yeah, I'm up to date. That shit tough.
Bro.
I'm trying to think what else I watched.
We're going to carve out some time. We have a lot of topics for this episode, but we're going to carve out some time in the future episode about anime. Maybe create a segment just on news. Now, let's talk about Vibes Cartel, the Jamaican Dandada.
I thought you were talking about DJ Vibes. Happy birthday, my guy.
Oh, that's a fact. Shout out to my boy DJ Vibes. I know you're going crazy right now.
Vibes, big Vibes.
I know you rolled up a nice spliff, not only for your birthday, but Vibes Cartel.
I'll say the world boss is free.
Ah, man, what's your thoughts about Vibes Cartel potentially being released and winning the appeal?
As a non-West Indian, I'm not as attached to it as a lot of my friends and companions are, but at the same point, his music got us to college.
By association.
By association. I'm a lot by association.
You hang out with Yardies.
I do.
JD Talks.
I had the skinny jean phase with the pastel colored polos and the car. Yeah, I had that phase. No,
you wore Clarks.
I did wear
Clarks. Stop right on them. You Jamaican.
I definitely got a pair of Wallabies.
Hey, you from Jamaica, Queens. Yeah. Get out of here.
I definitely do got the Wallabies. I'm looking at them right now. But no, I think it's a big thing because I think, like, you know, his impact on the culture and the music, that was half our parties. He was getting Cartel. Bruh. He was getting Cartel, man. Bruh.
I got some of the most meanest wines off of that shit.
Yeah, I'm about to say, some of his joints, you knew, like, she liked you. She came and got you for that song.
Ride a dick like a bicycle. What? And I'm gonna hold it up. Hold it up. What?
Yeah, nah. And then, you know, and he, I always found that funny. I'm like, this man is supposed to be locked away. But every time a rhythm came out, he had a verse. He had some heat on it.
I remember when they take your virginity. Gallagher. In that romping shop. Bro,
Gallagher Moore is my shit. I never forget scenes like fall semester of senior year. And that shit dropped. Every time I was in somebody's car, you got to play that with me real quick, brother. That was my joint. So, definitely shout out to him.
Shorty Wines. Oh, man. Bring back the armory.
People don't dance no more, bro. It's all TikTok dances, a little twerkity twerk, and then, you know, dance by yourself.
Yeah, niggas shaking hips now. Niggas ain't doing all out of that shit.
Not bad.
All right, on to the next news. Power, apparently, this cast didn't know this, but Star's CEO said this is going to be the final season of Power. They're splitting it up to two parts. Well, everybody was shocked at this announcement. But we weren't the only one. The cast was shocked, too, as they said that they wasn't informed this was going to be the final season. After four seasons, Power Ghost would be over. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I read the article. For one, I think that is an expensive-ass cast. I think that's what they said. They said it's a lot easier to pick a couple of characters and roll them into class. He just announced Power Origins, right? So you think about Raising Kanan is about to come up on his fourth season next year. So you say after that season, they transition to Power Origins. You keep Kanan on. You know, you take out some other players and now you start with a fresh young cast that you can pay off. I think Power Book 2 Ghost had like Mary J. Blige, Method Man, Tariq, Shorty from Everybody Hates Chris,
Page.
Yeah, like it's people that they got a little name to them, so you have to keep paying them. And you know, the longer shows go on, and then the more notoriety they get, the more you got to pay people. So they probably figure, yo, we could figure out a way to make Tariq's story bigger. Because there's no way that nigga staying at Choke. At whatever school he at. You feel me? So it's like, we start a new show. These people, you keep them on as like regular, as guest stars, or, you know, you get a new cast, get them in a new situation. it's easier. Now, them not relaying that to the cast, that's a dirty move, but that's also Hollywood. It's like, yo, we going to cut the check, and wherever we leave off, we give y'all another season. And we got it in two parts, so hopefully it's like they did with Ghost. Maybe we get 20 episodes. Maybe we get like 10 episodes or 8 and 8 or something like that. But because you really think about it, Power started to drag at the last couple of seasons. We didn't know where that shit was going, the original series. So I'm like, at least at 4, you could say we could iron out some plots. You know, they done killed off every drug lord that done came in, the FBI watching them again. Tariq's trying to get his bread. So if this ends with Tariq getting his money and then building his empire or whatnot, you rock with that. Or, you know, we get a time skip, we get an older person to play Tariq, and we see what that looks like in the future. Does he make the same mistakes as his father? I'm good with that.
You know what? I think what happened, since they announced Origin, Ghost come back at the end of the season
and tells his story.
Yep. And then that's how Origin starts. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
Origins is a smart move, because I'm just like, yo, that's the one thing that's
waiting. Oh, yeah, because people was asking about that in Raising Kane. I'm like, yo, when you going to start bringing Tommy and Ghost in?
That's how they presented it. They was like, yo, we going to do the joint. And then we never seen them, because Kanan is not even really Kanan yet. He ain't really catch no real bodies for real yet. So I think they got to develop that. I think Kanan might get 4 or 5 seasons, but they do 4 for Kanan. And then it's like, are you transitioning to Origins when now he's one of the characters and not just the main character? It can make sense.
I can see that. Only thing I know is Tariq better kill every motherfucking body. Mary J. Blige, definitely kill Bobby Brown. What's his real name?
Nigga Kane, I forgot. Woody something.
Woody, yeah. That's the only nigga that he need to kill, and he needs to kill Alex. Even though I love her, I love you, boo. I don't want you to die, but you gotta die in that show because you ain't shit. I want him to kill everybody. If that'll end it off like that, season is trash in my book.
Is this gonna be Tariq? It's gonna be Tariq and what's his name and Braden. They're gonna be all alone with the bread and figuring out how he can move it. That's what it's gonna be.
All right. Did you see the Oxers?
I saw who won. I knew Oppenheimer was about to take most of them joints. So,
oh, that's a fact.
I didn't even watch it.
I didn't really see it though, but I only saw just John Cena coming out naked shit and everybody linking it to Illuminati.
I mean, he had a dick rag on.
Ritual.
He had a dick rag on. If he would have dropped the car, you wouldn't have seen nothing. He would have looked like a Ken doll.
What's your thoughts about that? Like, niggas is over here. Do you really think he did that just because it's part of a ritual? But I'm like, for John Cena, he's been on for a long time. He's been successful. Even in the WWE, he's still regarded as one of the best ever.
I think that I'm 50-50. Do I believe that Hollywood has you, that you do have to do certain things to maintain your status, and like just pure talent and sales won't make you the biggest star you can be in Hollywood? I totally believe you do have to do certain things. I'm not going to necessarily say that is a full on Illuminati thing, but it's also like, to your point, he's known in one realm. He's gotten a lot of opportunities to do a lot of movies, award. He's hosted the ESPYs before. He's doing a lot more now. And I think that to do those things, you have to put yourself in some compromising positions. And I think that's in a lot of professions, you do sometimes, you know, you can stand 10 toes down and they put that glass ceiling on you. And you show, you'll do some of the wild shit. They give you a run. I'm kind of in my little Illuminati rabbit hole right now, so I don't want to go too in-depth. But I definitely
get the tinfoil hat for you, Mike.
Yeah, but I definitely could see it as something like he's making these moves, and it's like if he is getting more serious roles, if he's getting more opportunity, you're seeing him more places. Like, I'm not surprised. But it also ties to the movie he's in right now too, the Ricky Stenicki. I watched it, and he does some wild shit in that. Like, he's naked, he's in dresses and shit like that. So I think just because of the Cat Williams interview too, is something
he's been like that in all his roles. It's funny, what's that white comedian, that white female comedian that nobody really likes?
Amy Schumer.
She was in that movie with Shorty. He was acting crazy.
Yeah, too. Like, I'll take your dick and I'll break it with my teeth.
That shit was hilarious.
Wow, that's.
But I'm like, his discography isn't too bad. Like, he's very successful. Like, yeah.
But it's like to be taken seriously.
With a bag.
Think about it though. There's a certain line where you get to do like The Rock. Not saying he's not, like, again, super talented, but he had a niche, and then all of a sudden he was the biggest actor in Hollywood. You're like, nigga, when did this happen? You feel me?
I'm like, because this nigga was in the Fast and Furious series.
He was in
Bumblebee, Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad had his own show on HBO, Peacemaker. Gets in a lot of comedies. Still getting a WWE bag.
And he does a lot of which I didn't know he did. He does a lot of voiceover shit. He was in Mortal Kombat as Peacemaker. He was in
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I seen that.
Barbie. He was in Barbie. Like, he still get a check off of just being in the WWE games for real. Like, isn't he really?
Yeah, but it's like, how do you transition to become a bigger, like, bigger, as big?
He had a reality show, too, with Shorty before they broke up.
Yeah, Nikki Bella.
Yeah. All right, but, I mean, shout out to, if that's how you can put on, at least you're not my wife sucking dick. So, I don't know. I'll pick that instead of sucking two dicks at the same time. Nah,
they really said boy was out here just guac-guacking both ways.
Yeah. What's your thoughts about TikTok potentially being banned in the United States?
Why? What's the reason? That's my question. Because I think that they've talked about it for a while. Somebody had a perfect tweet. They was like, yo, it's so much happening. Prices, rent, shit, is people living, people with good jobs living check to check, just trying to keep up with what's happening. But y'all worried about TikTok. Y'all unanimously came together for TikTok. What's the problem? And they saying it's about U.S. breach of data. Nigga, the American companies got our data too. So what's the
way? And they sold that shit too.
I think that there's a big fear about, like, information, because it's like a lot of stuff you could find, so many life hacks, and it's like social media is news. What happened? Elon bought Twitter. Now it's like more free speech, but it's not as newsworthy as it once was. You could just find anything, right? They want to do the same thing to Twitter. I think they'll take it down. It's like, again, democracy is an idea that is not really enforced like we think it should be, or it should be, not even we think, like it should be in this country. So
now, I sent this on Twitter real quick because I just want to play this, because this goes to what I've been saying the last few episodes, that we really need a fucking age limit in Congress, because Nancy Pelosi, this is the shit that really got me pissed. I agree with your sentiment on what you said about TikTok, but she dead I had to say this, bro.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
Get her out there. I need the age limit to be 65, because she damn near 80. I want no goddamn tic-tac-toe, but like you said before beautifully, there's like too many other shit going on. We still have the ceasefire situation that we have to focus on. Homelessness rise. You got this presidency. This might be the worst presidency election ever. And they still lying to the public about wages and all that other stuff.
They're not lying about aliens no more, so you know shit is really a shit show.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. All right, let's get into some celebrity news. Yo, I didn't know that Jimmy Fallon went to St. Rose.
I didn't know till you wrote it down.
So, you know, I'm St. Rose. Shout out to College of St. Rose. They'll be shutting down this semester. You know, we both went to Albany, so we, you know, I got to meet a couple of people at St. Rose. St. Rose was always dope to me. I only met a lot of people on the creative side. They had like a lot of music production and music majors that I met over there during my time over there. So Jimmy Fallon went upstate this past weekend for Kegs and Eggs. This nigga was in fucking Plattsburgh, which I'm like, what the fuck? And then he was in the backyard in Albany. I'm like, yo, Jimmy, you could let a nigga know I could have pulled up. You see my guy out there, you feel me? But shout out to Jimmy though. You know, just supporting out there. I just want to put that out there. And then also I got sad news too, Slick. Pregnancy is in the air, Slick. Slick don't care about me. Slick is a bad friend. He don't fuck with me because he had to ruin my night by sending me this god awful post showing that Vanessa Hudgens is pregnant.
I was just letting you know about your baby. I mean, you can still be with her. You just gotta wait a couple months and for the stitches to heal.
You want me to be a stepdad? You know, I'm the father that stepped up.
Sometimes you gotta step up, bro. It's okay. You know that
it should have been me, Slick. I've been hoping and praying since Thunderbirds.
You ain't go outside. That's your fault. You ain't
fine. I've been hoping and wishing, man.
Yeah, hey, dog, I'm sorry.
You know when she broke up with Zach? I was like, yes. Then she got her ass with Austin Butler. Nigga been with her for mad long. And then you start fucking with this baseball player. And you let this nigga not only marry you and knock you up, when I'm right here waiting.
I know you was mad because you ain't even respond to the, you didn't even respond to the DM. You didn't text me. I was like, what?
Because I was like, yo, negativity on my phone.
I was like, you know, ain't that worse than finding out the love of your life is pregnant? I was trying to help you down.
You know, I already had to deal with Kehlani over here being pregnant and having a child.
But yeah, but that was like, because she wanted a baby. That wasn't love.
Yeah, and also the nigga that she had the baby with was like, I don't even know, a binary.
Non-binary?
Non-binary. Yeah, guys.
The binary? So they're not,
I don't know. Yo, no, shout out to the LGBTQ plus A community. Oh, I love y'all. Don't cancel this show.
I ain't going to cancel you. I didn't say that.
You know, love y'all. Shout out to him. So it was different from when she got pregnant because, you know, it wasn't really love. She just really wanted the kids. I'm like, all right, I could step up. But Vanessa looked like she in love. She glowing and shit. Yeah, you know.
It's all right. You gotta go to Dykeman.
I ain't gonna lie. I feel like in my next relationship, I might have to put her in a headlock just because I'm like, yo, you had me dead out here single for mad long, dealing with the ghetto-ness, and you had, like, where the hell you been all this time? Like,
he was out here getting dick. Fuck you.
You feel me? Like, you had me over here jaded and shit. You was over here living your best life getting dick.
Out here sucking dick, sucking dick in fucking Mexico and shit, huh? That's like, crazy. That is a wild story. Like,
pull some throwbacks. Man. If you went to Mexico, don't skip this shit on.
Nigga, you posted one.
Hey, man, don't judge. And also, I want to give congratulations to Cash Doll. She's pregnant with another kid. And also, Joey Chavez, or whatever her name is. Three kids by three different millionaires. You go, girl. Hey.
Get it how you live.
She ain't going broke. Bow, Future, and Trayvon Diggs. Do your thing, baby girl. Do your thing. Let's go into your boy, Ye. What's going on with him? This nigga go number one and he start wilding out, saying fuck everybody. And then you want to say fuck. You see? I was off you. You see? Now you got to get the gunshot ready for me, Slick, because I was off him. I wasn't saying I was rocking with you. I put two songs on the album as my song of the week. And then you want to say fuck Drake, nigga? Fuck you, yay. Right. And fuck Pusha T. I know he ain't had nothing to do with this, but still fuck him though. Okay. Fuck Pharrell. Fuck the state of Virginia, because y'all both made. Now fuck vultures and fuck vultures too, nigga.
You alone on that island, that album fire.
But what's your thoughts about Carnival going number one and his message to not only Adidas but to a whole bunch of other people for him going number one?
You can't stop a strong bass. You can't. Kanye, every album he's dropped has been number one and number two, right? And this was one, we got cursing Kanye back. There wasn't no bleeped out Kanye. This wasn't no experimental Kanye. You got Kanye with the sensibilities of Ty Dolla $ign. There's some dope features, some great sampling. Like, is it a little erratic at points? Yes. But you're not going to be like, yo, this, I'm not bumping this shit. This shit ass. You can't say that about this one. There's not much wiggle room to say this is ass. And then to the point of like the rant and shit like that, I think he just was frustrated because, like, again, like I said earlier, when it came to the John Cena incident, talent doesn't always win out in Hollywood. You could have talent, you could have a fan base, you could be the best of your craft, but if you are not accepted, people will look at you like you're an outlier. It doesn't matter, right? You're not getting the promo, whatever. So the fact that he's still able to do this off his name and this how he goes about things on his own, yo, kudos and more power to him.
Bro, I didn't know he had beef with Hailey Bieber.
He definitely did say fuck Hailey Bieber.
And then he said, fuck every Christian I watch, my watch me have my kids taken away. Like this, and he said, yo, fuck that fake dude I saw in the lobby at the Ritz that work at Gold. Like, man, what the hell that nigga did too, yay. And then I don't know why Drake got a shot for taking Dirk on a tour, like it's a custody battle. Like, what's going on?
Oh, because Kanye was trying to buy Dirk out of his contract. He was trying to have him be his artist. That's why.
If I was Dirk, I would not sign with Ye. This nigga, I appreciate him as an artist, but as a businessman, go listen to Big Sean. Big Sean was one of the top niggas in the early 2010s, made him over 30 to 60 million. He didn't see that. He had to audit the whole label to get some of that money back. I wouldn't do that if I was Dirk. But on to, now to coincide with the Ye rant, He fired Yes Jules.
Well, his team fired Yes Jules. His team, Yeezy, not necessarily him.
But I ain't gonna lie, them niggas is ruthless over here because the chief of staff, Milo, was like, "Dear Juliana or Juliana, obviously you're fired." Like, come on, guy. Like, how you firing niggas like that, bro?
She don't even apparently, care,
go ahead.
She don't even care though. She was like, "I don't give a fuck about y'all NDA and shit like that. Like, I'm trying to push the brand."
For $7 million, yeah. So she said all the activities on her page has been unauthorized. So she's been doing it on her own. They could potentially sue her for $7.7 million, but they're not going to enforce it. But then recently, because she's been clapping back and showing screenshots of the group chat that they're in, Milo was her. Milo and Ye was open to reconcile with her or have a conversation. But she responded to saying, like, "Hey, you got to get rid of the sexist, he gotta get rid of all like the hatred, the misogyny, and basically Milo, you have to fire for me to come back," type of shit. So she clapped back at the nigga. So let's see how she look, you feel me? Let's see how this shit goes. It's something with Ye. One thing you know about Ye is something that's always gonna be popped up, either good or bad. But what's your thoughts about Ada Ross saying that he clapped Sexy Red?
That nigga's nasty. That's all I think.
And then Sexy Red said that he basically paid her to take her virginity. But then she said that she was lying though. You really think that he dropped bread to fuck Sexy Red?
At this point, this is all sickening. I don't want to talk about this at all. This is gross.
I mean, I saw that tape. The tape wasn't, I don't know.
You're fucking Sexy Red. You're disgusting.
Wait, you want to fuck Sexy Red?
I don't find her sexy.
She bend that ass over, let that coochie breathe?
It might smell like ooh-wee. I'm not with it.
Shake that ass for her?
Nah, she could keep that shit over there.
Nah, come on now. You know ghetto. Okay, let's have a quick talk. Come on now. You know ghetto hood chicks. They're not sustainable for the long run, but the moment that you have them.
She'd have to catch me on
that's,
that drunk.
That's the ghetto spits. They gonna talk shit back to you. They gonna like.
I don't like that.
Oh, she gonna say on blood when she gonna talk. You not with the shits?
Nah, I don't want to deal with that. That just sounds like a fight. I'm good. I'm okay. I will gladly stick to.
You could talk about her tattoo while you're hitting up in the back. Like, oh, what's you?
I don't want to.
No? All right, let's go to the next. I'm on the island by myself. I see.
Yeah, that's how you try to get rid of the white girl allegations. You gonna fuck Sexy Red? You nasty.
Oh, that's crazy. Hey, if I fuck Sexy Red, hey, I'm gonna not hear. I'm a Winter Soldier. I'm gonna not hear that. I'm gonna not hear that because hey, I went there. Four Bats, who are gonna be my song of the week, signed to OVO on an EP deal. What's your thoughts on that?
As if it's just an
is
EP,
that a W move?
If it's just an EP deal, I think it is. Because I think that with the way Drake and them do music for EPs, I mean, say what you want about the albums that his artists be dropping. Them initial releases them niggas have is always fire. Now, the promotion might not be as strong, but for artists like 4Bats, where it's like he's got millions of listens and streams on Spotify monthly with only three songs, I think you put him in a room with like a Drake, a PND, a Division, a 40... Majid Jordan, they could add levels and layers to kind of give him a sound and push the sound. Because it sounds like some OVO shit, if we being honest.
Yeah.
It sounds like some OVO shit. So I'm like, you got the soft voice with like the different synths and things like that in the record. I think you put him with that production as an EP in this current way that we consume music, it'll work. I'm glad it's not a long-term deal because I just don't think OVO does a great job of developing long-term artists. They become niche artists. Like, Division is an R&B group, but they haven't been able to kind of even take, like a top spot in that space. PND is dope, but he drops few and far in between projects. Majid Jordan makes good pop music, but again, it's like, you have to find them and rock with them. You find OVO artists and rock with them. You don't necessarily, like, people in...
And that's why I wanted to ask you, because Joe Budden was talking about how this... Obviously, this is a good look for Drake, even though he still get flack for that, for just jumping on waves. But that's how he maintained his longevity and be inspired. But they also said that not a lot of artists is. So the debate that they had on the Joe Budden podcast was, after these artists get this look from Drake, their career kind of
stalls,
fall. what's your thoughts on that? Because I feel like that's not necessarily Drake's fault. Like, yeah, it's a trade-off. You keeping him relevant while you're getting promotion and getting looks on a grander stage, but he's not responsible to keep you hot. Now you're on a big platform. It's yourself, because I'm thinking about some of the artists that he gave a look to that kind of fall, like Black Boy JB, Makonnen, who else that he gave a look to that you could kind of say kind of like fell off a little bit?
Smiley.
Yeah, but Smiley signed to OVO though. That's different. And I think he signed Smiley off of some, you know, street shit. Because there's no way in hell you thought that nigga was talented like that. But only really people that really kind of like benefit from the Drake look, only thing is the Migos, to be honest with you.
That's true. Versace, Medusa had on me like I'm Illuminati.
But my whole thing about that is like, it's not Drake's business to continue promoting these guys after he do one song with them. But I feel like for Four Bats, I hope this is not the same situation. And now that he's signed to the label, now it is Drake's responsibility to keep him high. So we'll see how it goes. Just speaking of Party Next Door, new P&D coming out. What's your thoughts? You excited? Because I know you're a big Party fan.
Yeah, I read his Billboard story, and he's understanding, like, yo, what happened the last couple of years, like, and with the music output. And then we get music, sometimes the projects don't sound like what we expected. Like, so the fact that he said he took his time, he's kind of gotten back into the space of, like, all right, I'm really going to curate this. I need this to really sound proper, like, being that perfectionist model. I'm excited. And the two songs we got last year, Resentment and what's it called? And her old friends, them shits go. So I'm like, this should be all right.
He lost some weight too. Like that nigga looked like he ate Party Next Door.
Yeah, no, he definitely got a little huskers. But it's okay, man. I mean, maybe he said when I'm not making music, I'm in a relationship. So maybe that's what happened. And if it's a remember what's it called? Savage Anthem. That nigga went stupid, bro. So
facts.
I understand wherever he's coming from. I'm hoping like we continue the trend. He's dropping the Good Girl, a Good Woman single tomorrow. So let's hope that joint hit.
All right. Let's get to sports news, man. And this might be probably one of the most entertaining NFL free agency I have seen so far. That first day, all those signings, all those teams, and I love it. Fuck having loyalty to teams. Because these teams don't have no loyalty to you. That's why let's talk about Saquon, because we're from New York. And obviously the Giants is one of the premier football teams, at least the most recognized, whatever. Signed with the Eagles. If you know football, you know Eagle and Giants rivalry goes deep. From DeSean Jackson running that game winning punt return and all that other stuff. What's your thoughts about Saquon signing? And then with Tiki Barber talking about you dead to us, you dead to me.
Well, Tiki Barber definitely quit on the Giants before they won the Super Bowl, so he could shut the fuck up. It sucks because it's like you going to a division rival. Niggas is talking about you going to Texas and you going down 95. You go be with the rival team. We're going to have to see you twice a year. I mean, I'm glad he got his bread. Like, shout out to him. Like, great player. He didn't really get as a number two pick, they didn't really have the success that you would think, but they weren't ready for a player like that when they drafted him. So I can't fault him on that. He said himself he thinks he probably handled the exit poorly, but then they should have paid him last year. So I can't be
mad
at him.
That's what I'm saying. Because he's been trying.
Yeah, they should have
paid. It's not like he wanted to be a Giant. And now they put in all these videos, like, talking about how he said he wanted to be a Giant. The Giants paid Daniel Jones mad bread and don't want to pay this nigga bread.
I'm about to say, they made their mistakes, bro. They 100% made their mistakes with that because now they stuck with that stupid-ass contract.
Bro, and then we have Derrick Henry to Baltimore Ravens. What's your thoughts on that? And then we have Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. Buffalo Bills blew up their whole team, basically, and restructured a lot of money.
Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. I'm like, you gave a nigga $180 million that's coming off of Achilles. What y'all know that we don't know?
He got something over there.
Fucking own his wife or something. She said, do that. Fucking Derrick Henry to the... I think if Henry got that O-line, that running game is going to be dangerous. But the problem was that the receivers made some fucking bonehead decisions. And then Lamar had to kind of... When he has to overcompensate for those mistakes, That's when shit goes left. So they do need another receiver. I know they just cut Odell. So hopefully they can find something on the outside to kind of alleviate that stress. But it's a good move. It's a good move.
Yeah, and also shout out to Josh Jacobs for signing. I that's why I said I don't mind these players not having loyalty to teams no more. Because you've seen teams, once it's good for business, they'll trade that player even though he get blessed with tears to them. So I'm happy for that. I can't wait to see the new season because I'm rooting. And Aaron Rodgers, please just shut the fuck up, Aaron Rodgers.
Isn't he running for president? Isn't he running for vice president or something like that?
Yeah, and then also he was talking about the Sandy Hook situation. RIP to anyone, to everyone that was affected with the Sandy Hook situation. Please, my nigga, you making a longtime Jets fan like myself embarrassed over here, gang. Please get off of shows and just focus on playing one good season in New York, please. Thank you very much. Sincerely, a New York Jets fan. All right, but Slick, also what I'm also happy about my sports team, which I really want to talk about, is we fucking done with the 90s, Slick. I'm happy. I am so happy this trend came alive because I am tired of motherfuckers talking about the 90s like this shit was some god-tier era. And this all started because niggas keep hating on my GOAT, LeBron James, and how they keep criticizing him.
Accusing him.
Yes. Saying that he can't play in the 90s. He finally, niggas start showing tape and they start showing the great one, Michael Jordan, can't go left. And they kept showing how, and I ain't gonna lie, some of these niggas look old at 18. I don't know if you saw that picture, that other nigga. That nigga was about 75. But they started showing videos of just the 90s and how this generation is done with them. What's your thoughts about that?
I think it's always going to be a conversation. I think in the media age, you're going to always try to find a reason. You have not even try to find a reason. They're going to force you to validate your choice and who your favorite player is and what you think and is that and the third. And, I mean, unfortunately, fortunately, some people have nothing better to do than just comb through film and find a hole in somebody's game. Let's just be like, you're never going to have a decisive answer on who's the GOAT, who's the best player. It's going to be subjective of what you think qualifies it. If it's championships and guard play, you're going to probably say Jordan or Kobe, right? If it's like just overall dominance in the sense of like, yo, you go in the game and it changes, you're going to say, you could say Shaq, you could say Wilt, you could say Bron, right? It's always going to be an ongoing thing. I think you just got to appreciate eras of basketball because it's things that people can and can't do in each era. Like, and even in Gilbert Arenas' point, talking about the shit with like the steroids and hand checking and all those different things, is like, yo, that's a difference. It's a different game. A nigga can just hold you. Versus now, like, you can't even, once you put that arm out, it's a foul. You know, so numbers.
Yeah, because I was like, because they keep talking about the defense of the 90s, and I'm like, there wasn't no defense for, there wasn't
they was hacking
that much defense. Yeah, they was hacking. Like, yeah, they pride themselves about you going to their hole, you going to the hole, and them niggas smack you down. They pride themselves on that. That wasn't defense for real.
That's why
you. And then also to one of the points that Gilbert Arenas was talking about was how there's usually be just one scorer, and the rest of the niggas be fucking defenders. And I'm thinking about just the 76ers of just Allen Iverson. Just like on that team of Allen Iverson, there wasn't really nobody. Aaron McKee was only like 3-point specialist, but Eric Snow, anybody else was just defenders for real. Allen Iverson was doing most of the scoring. And I feel like that was like for the most case for most 90s based teams.
Yeah, the average score was like fucking 94 to like 81 or 87 or some shit like that.
Yeah. And then the 3-point line wasn't where it is now. So a lot of niggas wasn't shooting real 3-pointers that niggas were shooting today. And it also, it's just the concept of evolution. Of course, these players are supposed to be better than the players in the 90s. They know they have more training. They have more opportunities. They have more films to study. They can do more shit. They're just better equipped to be better than you guys in the 90s. And it's okay. It is okay. But I know niggas going to do this shit. Do you know the funny thing about it is because Big Baby Davis from the Celtics, niggas, because he needs to do porn, which I did not know. But niggas say, like, oh, they about to use this for LeBron in about 10 years. Yo, LeBron was playing with porn star directors. So I know this is going to happen again in about 10 years once a lot of prodigy comes around and start taking over the NBA. They're going to start shitting on LeBron's era too. So this is just part of the game. Now, just on the NBA tip, What's your thoughts about John Wall talking about the suicide attempt? If you want to play that clip real quick.
I get it. But for one, suicide is nothing to ever like make jokes at. I think that the fact that he was that candid in sharing that, and I'm going to just play it right quick, is very telling. So let's listen to it.
And I'm trying to tell people mental health is serious, so I had to go get a therapist after that.
Yeah, me too.
Like, if it wasn't for my two boys, I would have killed myself. Like, I put a gun in my head twice. Ooh. And a lot of people that's close to me and my friends at the time didn't know. And not to branch off, but you know what I mean? Like, I had a video came out throwing up gang signs and stuff like that. That's when I was in my darkest moment, mm-hmm. trying to figure out to find happiness.
Go back though. You said you had a gun in your head?
Yeah. Yeah, twice. I wanted to commit. And I was like, man, if I take myself away from this earth, I'm failing my kids. Like, who's going to be here to raise them?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wrote about it in a player's tribute. I wrote a story about it. I'm like, I take it away from them. That ain't fair to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know I got to be here for them.
Yeah, man. I think that mental health is, again, like you said, nothing to play with. But sometimes when life doesn't go the way you planned, the things happen and it's like you just can't get answers. Like, think about his case. He was number one pick. Totally was the greatest thing since sliced bread since he was in fucking a freshman in high school. You get to the league, you got success, you getting teams to the playoffs, you know, you Mr. dunking on people, you famous, you got your trademark, sneaker deal, Dougie, couple injuries, now you can't even stick on a team, right? People telling you overpaid and overhyped. You get on a team, you think you're doing something, and they don't want you. They tell you go home middle of the season. What does that do for your psyche when you aren't who they think you are? Think about just, we talk about the man side of this a lot. It's like you envision your life a certain way. You live your life a certain way, and some things don't go right. You know, you try to reconcile, you try to talk about it, you try to find ways, and a lot of times people don't realize in some cases how their actions or how the experiences that y'all share, how that can impact you and what goes through your mind. And when you can't get those answers, you can't find that peace. Sometimes the thought is, yo, what if I ended right now? And to him, luckily, he had his kids. So it's like you take a real selfish motherfucker to kill yourself and knowing you got your kids and your baby's not going to see you every day. So the fact that got him to a place where he can now kind of openly talk and explore his emotions and get help, that's important. And a lot of people don't know where that help comes from. And it takes a lot to go get help. And even when you get help, it takes a lot to be honest about why you need the help. And then it takes a lot even more to be honest with the people around you, like, yo, I was going through this. Some people are like, nah, that can't be real. You can't feel that. That's no way. I know I did this, but that shouldn't have made you felt that way, right? So it's just being very mindful about how you communicate and what you go through. And be careful how you treat people. And acknowledge that if you are only with or care or around somebody for the benefit of that they bring to your life, how would you feel about them if that benefit was gone? That's the realest shit.
Oh, you potting. Yeah. You potting, man. This nigga potting.
That's the realest shit. Because it's like, if you going to fuck with me when I got $3, or the same way you fuck with me when I got $300,000, then we cool. Mm-hmm. But if that $300,000 go to $3 and you out, I don't hear from you no more. I'm like, well, nigga, what if I need help from you? What if I need a space, right? Or it's like, you always with the good times, but then if we have a try to have a serious conversation about that one bad time, and then as you shut down, or as you know, you ignore it, or you shift blame and whatnot. It's like, all right, well, what am I supposed to do? Because there's no amount. It's hard to find the right amount of therapy and help to really address those issues. And we come on this pod every week and tell y'all, we be in therapy. We feel a way about XYZ. We have analyzed, we accept it, we've been hopeless, we've been trying to find ways to look and move through the world that makes us, not say want to be here, but allows us to give our spaces our best versions of ourselves in that moment, right? And everybody doesn't necessarily have that. Some people need to touch grass and don't have that opportunity. So I think it's just like just being very, very open with the people around you, and how do you do that? So I commend him for having that conversation and being able to say, yo, real shit? It was over. And my saving grace was XYZ.
And he don't know how much just talking about that on a public platform is going to help the individual that probably not in that particular situation, but in their own situation, and they could go seek out the help that they need. I think you said it beautifully too, because I watched Girls Arena a lot, and he's talked about after he retired, you have to understand, from an NBA player who their primary focus has been basketball since a young age, some for six, some seven, whatever, for them to finally make it to that point, and a lot of them don't know what to do after basketball is over. A lot of them, especially if it's been forcibly taken away from them, not that they chose it and made a plan. And then I hear often about retired players, once it's done, once they're out of the routine, because you got to say they've been in the routine for decades for some. And that is a whole adjustment. You got to refine yourself. But shout out to you, John. Well, I appreciate what you said and just speaking line about it. And also for all my people out there, yo, like Suk said, you could go seek therapy, but you're always going to seek yourself and just find that purpose to keep pushing, because dark times don't last. People do. All right. Before we end out the sports, real quick. Paul Pierce is rumored to join Undisputed. Him and Slick with LeBron's legacy. I think this might be A1, Slick. I think this might be A1. The hate LeBron club might grow, especially after Richard Sherman situation. We still don't know what's going on with that. What's your thoughts about Paul Pierce potentially joining Undisputed with Slick?
They just trying to find that right mix for Slick. I mean, for Skip to kind of get his shit right. So, hey, if it's Paul Pierce, do it. Fox Sports be shitting on Brown all the time anyway, so let's let it run.
All right, let's see it. All right, let's get to our song of the week. If you listen to this on YouTube, please exit and preferably go to the Alive Podcast app, which you can download on iOS or Android, or you can go to our Apple Music playlist or our Spotify Music playlist and see our songs of the week. What you got this week, brother?
First joint I want to run, I mentioned this a while back, Usher dropped the extended version of his album, and this is one of those ones I was like, this should have made the main cut. This is Usher, Believe.
Now you say I must be out my mind, but I can't help but see love is blind. Open your eyes, take good advice, still got time left to walk away. In hindsight, I realize, but if you ask me today what made me stay, I'd say that I wanted to believe. I wanted us to make it, baby. I wanted to believe. Looking forward, baby, to everything you said in every way. What people say, is this real? Can you make me believe?
Yep, that's Usher, Believe, off the extended version of Coming Home. And then second track, I mentioned this record a couple weeks back too. This is SZA, Saturn.
To you, SZA. I didn't know you had breast implants too. She was talking about how she removed it. But you already know, it's no surprise it's gonna be my song of the week. Here's Four Bats, Drake, Act Two, 8 at 8. You could just skip right to Drake's part, Slick.
Slide by 8 p.m. and send a text to your DM. Find you for your fucking hair. To earn you for your fucking nails. You running out of shoes to wear. So I bought you another pair. You running out of shoes to wear. So I bought you another pair.
Been praying on it since a kid. I guess it's just luck if you say so. How you get all of that body and face though? What kind of water they serving in clay cold? This is me talking, it's not DNA ho. Ready to pop out, but we gotta lay low. I really gotta calm down before I end up in jeopardy, just like the game show. Broski, my twin, that's my bestie. He love me, said I got a blessing. I swear he's gassing me up. There's no way in hell I see you passing me up. Almost said I loved your ass right after we fucked. Don't know why, girl, it was on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. Found someone I'm falling for. You hit me back with talking more now. The bodies that you called before, they don't make me mad or insecure. I'm good. 1,000 on your fucking hair.
200 on your fucking nails. He floated on that shit. We gotta talk about, one day we have to talk about Drake's R&B feature run. You know, we have the Summer Walker Girls Need Love too, but that's neither wet. But this next song, I'm really appreciating this wave in New York. Don't get me wrong, I do like my drill music, but sometimes a little too aggressive. I like New York when it's about money and bitches. And this song represents all of that. Here's Cash Cobain featuring Ray Swag.
For sure.
Attitude, but you better say so I ain't mad at you. And you tell it to what I gotta do to be having you. I pay the avenue, top 560 in a savage too. And your ass fat, know you eat your rice and your cabbage too.
She a savage too, I'm a savage too, it's compatible. She was talking practice, had to cut her off, got a battle boo. I ain't chicken tender, if you find my brother, I ain't mad at you.
Fucking in the kitchen, we ain't even make it to the master room.
Met her in the trenches, when she suckin' different, and she tatted too.
And she independent, swear this bitch is different, and she nasty too.
Yeah, my body different, when I move, forget it, I'm an animal.
And her body different, I'ma eat on that bitch like I'm Hannibal.
I'ma add the fool, I get active too. I'ma eat that pussy like an edible.
For sure. I'ma fuck like I said, but don't mind me be poppin' that Adderall.
For sure. That pussy be purple wet when you win it, it feel like it's grabbing you.
For sure. Oh, I like that swaggy shit. That was Cash Cobain featuring Ray Swag. For sure. Alright. You can find our previous song of the week on Apple Music Players or on Spotify, Music Players, but that's not what you're here for. You're here for the people's choice, the people's favorite, Slick Drop It.
I can be toxic, but so what? You gonna love it here. Shit, fuck is you talking about? We have fun over here. It's very fun here.
And it's fun indeed. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Toxic Service announcement. All right, this week's TSA is sponsored by no one, but you can sponsor this segment by emailing us at thismonagoa@gmail.com. And we also don't got no special guests. It's just Slick and I holding it down this week. And we got some things to talk about, Slick. Now, the big thing that's floating around in the news is Dre and Michelle. We talked about pregnancy in the air earlier in this episode, but we saved this particular announcement for the, well, I like to say, the increased debating on social media about Dre and Michelle Predator Act. If you didn't know, Dre, who is 39, is pregnant by NBA superstar, not superstar, just NBA star, Jalen Green, who is 22, which is around her son's age. What's your thoughts about the conversations that's been going on about Dre and Michelle?
thing is, it's internet talk, but it's also it's a requirement, because I think that this is the primary example of like, yo, get the bag by any means. Because I can't say, I don't know them, so maybe I'm not, it's not that I can't say, but I, my better judgment is going to say this is not love. You know, this is not, and he might feel it, but this is security. This is got you. Like, we're here, we're in it. Because I just can't, for the life, I have a hard time when I see 30 and 20. So the fact that you say she damn near 40 and he barely 20, that's two different, she's lived almost two of his lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hard to understand and comprehend. Like, again, if this is something they discussed and, you know, more power to them, it's us against the world, by all means, do your thing. But it just doesn't sit right on the story. And I think that's just a tough sell, because it's like, it's cool to fuck an old bitch, but come on, you got her pregnant, bro? What are you doing? Where your OGs at?
That's a fact. That's a fact. And also, people have to understand on social media, there's misplaced anger or misplaced energy. Because I see a lot of women are like, oh, guys are only advocating for hate towards Dre and Michelle because they want y'all to keep the same energy when it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, most guys don't really care that he knocked up. We know he's stupid. where your big homies at? You shouldn't be doing that, especially given Dre and Michelle's history, even though her wholeness got deleted.
Not according to
guys are just, oh yeah. guys are just on this topic because they want y'all to keep the same energy, because when it's the other way around, y'all crucify men. But now you have like Tori Hart, Kevin Hart's ex-wife, talking about, you go girl, y'all shouldn't be sending her no hate. You got a whole bunch of other women advocating she got a bag, and it's kind of like, wait, so when y'all do it, it's a problem when we do it. But it's a problem when you do it. All love. It's understandable when y'all do it. It's within rights. But when guys do it, it's predatory, it's creepy, it's what conversations are y'all having? But then I hear other conversations like, oh, don't y'all say old women, y'all don't care about old women no more. Y'all don't, you know, after they reach a certain age, they're basically hang up in the closet. I'm like, that don't justify you getting pregnant by a 22-year-old, mama.
I was about to say, yeah, like, is the nigga probably checking for you? Not necessarily. If he can get a younger thing, but at the same point, again, we're not talking about dating and fucking. We're talking about a child being born. And it's like, mm-hmm. That's 17%, my boy. That's 170,000 on every million he make.
And my whole thing about it is, I'm not on the predatory side for Drea, because she's when I think of someone getting trapped or preyed on, I'm thinking of someone that you didn't know that played a character, or you didn't have no background history on, who possibly, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, like, because some of these girls do that in the industry, like, they really study the players. They find out where they be at. They find out what they like. And then they go around the same place and pretend to be who they want in a girl. And then you remember the game episode when the girl tried to turkey base Derwin's cum, mm-hmm. out the condom? This shit like that. That's trapping to me. A woman like Dre and Michelle can't trap a nigga. Her history is too out there. She left her kid for 2 weeks on pizza rolls and stuff. And you saw her, you know, with Gilbert Arenas. You seen her with a bunch of people. Like, her history is there, bro. And the reason why I don't have no sympathy for Jalen Green, my boy, you've been basically in the media eye since you was practically a sophomore, junior in high school. And you also had a public relationship with Christian Combs' ex-girlfriend. So it's not like you're new to celebrity dating. You fantasize over her, which is proper, because, you know, probably when you was 10 or 12, when she was really popping, you wanted to fuck her. That's like me and Halle Berry. Like, you feel me? I want Nia Long, Sanaa Lathan. They my elders, but I will fuck them. I fantasize, so I understand where you're coming from, but I don't have no sympathy. Because, like, bro, the game is there. And also, I don't know, maybe as I'm getting older, but it's kind of like, this is not something new. This is not the first time this shit happened. It's certainly not going to be the last time. Only thing I wish Dre and Michelle would have done. I wish she had took the Hailey Bailey route by just announcing the pregnancy after it's done, because I'm seeing on her social media, like, she's really getting down by the hate. And this is also an emotional time for her. Pregnancy is no joke for women, especially Black women. They don't really care for Black women that much during pregnancy. So I don't want to see her endure all this hate. And you already know you got corny people on social media wishing death and all that other stupid shit. I don't want her to endure that during her pregnancy. I want her to have a healthy, safe birth. Because at the end of the day, no matter who decision to fuck who, whatever age, there's a brand new life that has nothing to do with the situation. That's clueless and just trying to live. So hopefully, I just pray for a safe pregnancy for her.
Well said.
Also, you sent me a clip. You trying to start up this red pill stuff over here with Cardi B. Cardi B sat down with Willow,
Wallow and Gilly.
Gilly and Wallow, and she had this message to say for women.
Nah, you gonna really make me play this? Hold on.
If you're gonna be the type of bitch that, like, a nigga, you want a nigga to take care of you and everything, but it's like, all right, you have to, like, pick a balance. Like, it's like, you cannot just be a bitch that's like, oh, my man take care of me, he does the bills. But it's like, what do you do? What are you contributing? Like, it's like, all right, like, you can't be complaining, like, oh, I cook, I clean every day. It's like, okay, but you don't work. You don't contribute to the house. So I just feel like it's like, and, like, sometimes people be like, oh, so this is, like, really controversial, right?
Cool.
I feel like it's very controversial when, like, be like, oh, I don't go 50-50, but it's like, all right. So if you and your man make the same amount of money, right? Mm-hmm. But only your man is the one that paying all the bills. How y'all ever gonna save up to, like, buy a house or buy a business? Because he's never gonna be able to afford to. So it's like certain things is like a joint thing to do.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like a work together. But I just be feeling like sometimes people, like, the internet really be having people fucked up from, like,
Oh, she's spitting. But you missed the most important part about the health remedy. She's still a little dumb, though. Talk about his money is my money, but my money is my money. Still got a little, she's still a little more knocking in the head, but she's spitting. What's your thoughts on that?
I thought it was just an interesting conversation because we talk about the internet. I think that was the point that I really liked. I was like, she said the internet got people fucked up. Everybody feel like they deserve. But then it's like, all right, cool. How you contributing to getting your dream? It's not somebody else's responsibility to take care of you. Mm-hmm. I think that's how you know you got a keeper, when you can really, somebody, like, we talk about that dumbass table, but somebody has something to bring and say, we can work together. You handle this, I handle that. Whatever y'all agreement is, that's how y'all get to unlock those goals and things that y'all really want, you know, because all the needs are already taken care of. Stop conflicting needs and wants. I think that's where some of the biggest issues come up in our relationships. It's like, oh, we want to do certain things, but we need to make sure we got this right now. You feel me? So that's really, like, I think she, like, it's refreshing to hear Cardi say something. Like, you know, you said, she said this shit, like, because she write a lot. It is his money, my money, but my money, my money. Sometimes, but yeah, but if the money's coming together to do something for us, that's fine. We good money.
That's the thing. I mean, I agree, because it's like, and I hope women really take heed to what she's saying, because at the end of the day, we just don't want to feel completely used as men. Like, we don't mind, like, I swear, if men would love to provide for women, but at the end of the day, we don't want to be used. We don't want to feel used by women.
Yeah, I already told us we can't, like, everything that we should do and we can't do, what we can't say that comes with it. Like, we've already lived in that false reality. So now it's like, yes. I bet, like, we good. Like, we can work together. If a girl tells you she's not willing to work together with you, you're not the one player. Just understand that.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. And also, you can't tell me what I want from your perspective. And I think that's oftentimes for just both men and women. I feel like oftentimes y'all trying to tell us what we want. And I was like, hold on, you can't do that because you don't have the same point of view that I do. You can't tell me how you're supposed to love me. I'm supposed to tell you how you're supposed to love me. And then we will come to an agreement on if this is something that you're willing to do. And I think, yo, especially in this economy, I don't understand why. And then I'm not to go too deep in the Black history bag, but bro, did you not know, yo, since after slavery, we've been doing a 50-50. That's why I'm like, I really be thinking not enough, and I'm not talking about just Black women. I don't think Black people in America understand the history of this, how we historically have been doing 50-50 together. The government continued to destroy us, and this is the reason why we are where we at now. But for y'all complaining and talking about, oh, what you mean 50-50? We've been historically going 50-50 with each other. Do your research. Do your homework, like my boy Jay Maine say. Do your homework. And also just got to give at the end of the day. Hey, I don't know what life they – I don't know what they told you about life, but life is all about giving and taking. And if you're with a partner, you better be equal amount, or someone's going to feel like they got the shitty end of the stick.
That's a fact.
Now, just speaking of just partnership and relationship, this nasty video, I don't say nasty video, but this camera person who took a footage of Joey Badass and Soraya, am I pronouncing her name right?
Yeah.
Of them having an emotional discussion really irked my soul. Because I'm like, bro, that was not the time to sit here and take video, bro. But I brought all this up just to have a little more candid conversation. What's your thoughts about arguing with your partner?
I think argument is okay, but it's not in public. Me and my fiance probably... In public, I think we've had one, maybe one and a half. Not even a full. We've had like one where it's like it doesn't get too crazy, right? But I think public is never a thing. Like, however you feel, you bring it to a private space, you figure it out, you know, talk about it. I think argument can be healthy because sometimes you have to say it. You can't sugarcoat everything. It's all about how you argue. Because do you argue with respect or do you argue to belittle and demean? Is that how you're going to get your point across? So I think for me, I don't ever want to dehumanize my partner. I don't like being dehumanized. Once you dehumanize me, or once you say something where it's like you just literally wanted to just get your shit off to try to justify what you wanted to say without even consider, like, I'm like, there's no consideration in your words. You lost me, and boy, it's hard for me to come back. Because,
or if I'm not feeling like I'm being heard, or if I say like, yo, this affect me this way, and they be like, oh, but you did this to me. I'm like, hold on, you're basically ignoring my feelings by reversing it about what you we're addressing. My thing about arguments is if we're not addressing certain topics at that moment, don't bring in another topic or I'm just going to shut down. I'm just gonna like, all right, you got it. Like, because yeah. I'm clearly you're not listening to me and clearly we're not going to come. You're going to want to get your shit off and want to be not quote unquote the victim, but you want to win this and I have no acknowledgement of your wrongdoings, and accountability is a big thing for me.
I think
I pride myself about being accountable, but yeah, go ahead.
I think that a lot of that is like sometimes people need different time. Like I'm a slow processor of emotion, right? So it might take me a little minute to like really, like I've gotten down to probably like it could take me a day. I need a day to kind of reflect and think about what we just spoke about. If it does become heated, we gonna talk about it, but I need my mom to be like, yo, what? Like, yo, how do we get here? Then like really process what was said and how it was delivered and what the emotion was. But I think that even in the moment, it's like the consideration. Like, I'm gonna try to give space until it's like you can't, until you hit me somewhere where I'm like, yo, bro, like you're really not fucking listening to me, or like you don't care about what I'm saying. And I try to do the same. Like if you feel like I'm not listening to you, I'm not taking your point. I want you to try to explain that to me, right? I think in that moment,
even in layman's term,
like you got to like really have those combos. And I think that people are very different. I think relationship is not about ownership, but it is accountability. So it's like if your partner tells you they don't like something or something makes them feel the way, you got to take it. You might not like it. You're not gonna like everything y'all discuss, but you have to kind of be like, yo, like I get that. I can understand why that puts you in that space or why that can make you feel the way. And sometimes that reality of realizing you hurt your partner or you belittled or whatever the case may be, or even, you know, you had to accept the fact that, yo, the partner, this person's right. It can really, you can cry, be upset. Like, we don't know what Joey and Soraya was arguing about, but it's like to capture that intimate moment, and now people was doing think pieces and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yo, it's natural in a social dynamic, friend, relationship, whatever, to have disagreement. And in a romantic relationship, where more times than not in this era, you live with that person, you are with this person when you are not at work or you're not at an event, you're going to have moments where it's like, fuck, like, why are we arguing about this? Or like, yo, I didn't appreciate it, this, that, and the third. And a lot of people don't know how to be wrong. a lot of people don't know how to be wrong. And how do you deal with people that don't know how to be wrong? Because then that also shows, like, all right, bet. Can you correct without belittling? Can you correct without demeaning? Can you be right with grace? Can you be wrong with grace? You feel me? So it's a lot that goes into that.
And also with me, with just arguing with the partner, I don't mind having arguments or having like intense discussion. One of my pet peeves is arguing about the same thing. I can't argue about the same topic. Like, if we argue about who just left the socks on that and that, okay. But then the next argument is about, give me something stupid, like not opening the door or something shit like that. Saying two different topics, I'm okay with that. But if it's like if it's different scenarios but the same theme, I can't do that. Because it's like, I'm a big conflict resolution type of guy. I need resolution to certain things and clarity and closure on certain stuff. Because now if certain stuff starts to follow the same trend or the same topic, that means we're not working at anything and we're running around in a circle and we're not really growing with each other.
That's offending.
That's good. You know, we could, you know, it's not toxic. You know, we're not going to talk about pussy squirts and porn stores and all that good shit all the time. You feel me? We give you some mature shit. So maybe this year's toxicity moment might not be that crazy. Who knows?
That's only March.
Okay. Now, this social trend, before you get to I choose one, it was a little funny, but also sparked a lot of discussion about the ghetto. But I wanted to, let's first answer this question. You, as a black person, what scares you?
White people.
Well, I think it's mostly about black folks.
White people. Black people that marry white people.
As a black person, niggas in ski masks scared the shit out of me. Them niggas in the shiesty, I don't care. Call me Uncle Tom, Uncle Ruckus. I look niggas up and down when I see niggas in shiesty. I don't care. Hey, cancel me all you want. As soon as I see a nigga coming with a shiesty, oh no. Mm-hmm. Let me move to the other side because these niggas is on one out here.
As a black person, what scares me is niggas that wear a hoodie no matter what the weather is outside.
Oh, now you spitting too. Because them niggas was dead wearing hoodie in a New York summer. And if you know about New York summer, there's no goddamn hoodie. And also, as a black person, why the fuck do you judge me about my music taste? Like, nigga, if I want to listen to Paramore, let me rock, nigga. Remember back in the days, niggas used to clown you if you wasn't listening to just the hip-hop or R&B. If you listen to, niggas would clown you for listening to country and shit.
I've always had my headphones in my ears. They never bothered me that much.
Like, niggas couldn't listen to fucking All Time Low without niggas judging. What else? As a black person, I understand the statement about not wanting to be next to niggas. I love being around black folks, but I can't be with niggas. Oh my God. You know, and when I mean by niggas, it's not only black folks. If you thought I was just niggas is not black folks, hey, you ignorant. White people could be niggas. They can't say niggas, but they could be white. They could be niggas. I don't want to be around those type of people, okay? That, them niggas itch. Them niggas make my ass itch. Like, you don't got no goddamn home training out here. Come on now. And stop associating ghetto with black folks, because a lot of people use this trend and kept saying, hey, I want to be around ghetto people. Oh, you don't want to be around your culture. Hey, black people shouldn't be associated with only ghetto, because white people be ghetto as hell. Have you ever been to a trailer park? Them niggas be ghetto as hell.
Shit, I'm trying to think what else scares me as a black person. Damn. As a black person, I hate when niggas from out of town go to the function I'm trying to be at, because I don't know how niggas going to act.
As a black person, I hate when niggas go to a college party and you never went to a lecture hall. As a black person, why the fuck was you coming to Albany homecoming, my nigga, and you was just in the peas selling coke? Nigga, stay your ass home, okay?
As a black person, I'm scared of. How do I say this when I get canceled? Oh, man. I'm scared of the gra gra boom bitches. I'm sorry.
Oh, the emotionless gangbangers? Oh, yeah, I'm definitely scared of y'all. The emotionless gangbangers in New York, I'm definitely scared of y'all.
Terrified. I don't know. I don't know if she's going to cut me. I don't know if she want to turn up. And what if I tell her no? She going to tell me I'm ugly anyway? Is she going to stab me? I don't know. I don't like that.
As a black person, I hate that salmon, Hennessy wings, lemon pepper got a chokehold on our community. I am scared. Why that shit got us in a chokehold, gang?
Yeah.
Niggas put salmon in everything. Niggas make salmon in all different types of way. I saw niggas put oxtail on sushi. That shit delicious. Oh my god.
That shit delicious. You just
like, oh, okay, yeah. You see, niggas like you scared. Niggas put oxtail on sushi.
Damn right. Gang,
come on.
With the gravy as a dipping sauce. Don't play. That's fine.
And also, as a black person, I'm scared of Hennessy just being our culture. Why the fuck are we so hung up on cognac, my nigga?
Dark liquor is good. I mean, I don't drink Hennessy no more, so I can't even condone that. I definitely don't drink Hennessy no more.
Oh, yeah. As a black person, I'm scared of niggas who got Chinese tattoos. You don't speak a lick of Mandarin, my nigga. All you don't know nothing about Japan, but you got the rising sun on your back. I'm scared of them niggas. That's
fair. That is fair. As a black
person. And also, as a black person, I'm scared of making plans with niggas and niggas come on CP time. Nigga, that's not good that you're known to come 2 hours late to a function. I'm scared of you niggas.
Well, I won't get there with nobody there.
We're talking about you fashionably late, nigga. No, you just late, nigga. You overcome 15, like, you overcome with a grace time. Niggas can never plan. As a black person, we can never plan a trip or an event or a get together without allocating one. We got to lie about time. Niggas got to say shit starts at 8 when shit starts at 9 to get niggas to come on time. Why?
As a black person, it scares me when the hood people find out about the places we've been going for years.
Oh, that's the one. That's the motherfucking one. Especially like vacation spots.
Uh-huh.
That's why Miami shut niggas down.
Yeah, niggas thought they gonna go out there and find the oasis. No, you did not, sir. You should not be here.
And, oh my god. What else? As a black person, I hate that. I'm scared of niggas who don't know how to drive right. Because black niggas be speeding through the road like it ain't no goddamn tomorrow over here. I'm scared of you niggas.
That is fair.
We might have to keep this as part of the segment too, because there's a lot more. I'm gonna write some more down. And next week I'm gonna come with a lot more on my list. As a black person, I'm scared that baby fat farm jackets had a hold on our black community. And hot Cheetos. I'm scared of y'all niggas.
If you eat hot Cheetos for breakfast, you a delinquent.
Yeah, and I'm scared. As a black person, I'm scared of you. I'm scared of you people who was fighting at 8 in the morning for high school. Why the fuck was you so angry at the world at 8 in the morning?
Shouldn't have been talking shit.
And oh, as a black person, I'm scared of you disrespectful ass kids. Oh my god. I know you gotta deal with that shit, but oh my god. What's with these little niggas now?
No comment.
Let's get to our choose one. All right. This week's choose one. Let's stay on the relationship theme that we talked about in this toxic topic. Would you rather have a partner with a bad temper or a partner who never takes anything serious?
Like, she beat me? Like, what you mean, bad temper?
She beat me? Like, all right. You, your shorty tells you.
I don't take the chicken out the freezer and she bad.
Yeah,
shit.
And she's like, yo, why the fuck you never take the. Yo, this is why I can't fuck with you. You never want to fucking listen to me. Yeah. Now you're going to want me to sit my ass to make you some goddamn chicken, nigga. Fuck out of it. That type of shit. Damn, or then the person who. You know, when you try to have a serious conversation, babe, can you make sure you pay that bill on time? Oh, babe, make sure I'm paying the bank, make me pay it to, you know, that type of shit. Which one are you choosing?
I want the non-serious bitch. That she sound funny.
But were you really trying to talk some real shit to her? Like, imagine if y'all was trying to shoot, if it was a shooting at a spot. And you're like, yo, babe, we're going to duck down. You're going to run to the car.
Tell me what your life insurance policy is.
you rather have a partner who takes that serious?
Don't you fucking yell, argue with me about everything? I don't care that much. So you're gonna be mad. You're gonna beat me because I'm literally not care.
Not if you good and you listen, you good. You feel me? It's just that, you know, when she's annoyed, you know, she might curse you out.
Yeah, no, I'm good off that. I'm straight.
You've been dealing with New York women all your life. I know. That's why you done met a girl with bad temper. Okay.
Have I dated a girl with a bad temper? Nah, because I'm not serious. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll play my game. I'm gonna get quiet. All right, you got it. You gonna feel like an
but asshole. I don't want a girl who's gonna mock me, or if I'm trying to be real serious with her, she gonna that shit gonna be cool until when you really gotta. I'm at okay. She over here was driving a boat with niggas in the club, and you was like, "Now you broke my bound. You crossed a boundary of mine." What you mean I crossed a boundary? Like she started making jokes about that shit.
You think I got boundaries now? See, look, I'd have punched her face. No.
You see, look at you. Either way, it's domestic violence.
She got flicked right on foot. Like, yo, stop fucking playing with me. Now I got to fight all these niggas in the club. They think I'll beat you.
But with the bad temper, as long as she ain't putting her hands on me, calm. I think I'll be good.
Nah, I want her calm. Her and she gonna fuck up my energy. She keeps yelling at me every time.
Nigga gotta walk around the house without stepping on eggshells.
Yeah, no, fuck all that. Yo, just I don't care. You don't care. Just you ain't do it. I bet. I'll find someone who will. That's it.
This way. Okay, I think I'm with you because the partner who don't take nothing serious, I'd be like, I just gotta make sure nothing serious happened, or just let her get hit by a car or something. Like, she don't want to follow my lead. Like, yo, if they start shooting and you want to play around, hey, baby girl, I'll put up a GoFundMe for you.
Now you Christopher Reeve. You can't even move. Look, stupid. Should have listened.
All right, I think that's a great way to end this. Thank y'all for joining us on this audio journey. Please download the Alive Podcast app on iOS or Android. And please follow us on social media at This Might Not Go Well. If any branding deals, business opportunity, please email us at thismightnotgowell@gmail.com. I'm the voice of Outside, B Breezy, a.k.a. Poppy Size Zone.
It's your boy Slick Grayson. Y'all be great. We'll see y'all next week.
To cow.
Try to tell them we up next. You can't stop that. This your favorite podcast. Every show is lit, baby. You know what we finna do. Slick gon' talk that slick talk. He gon' get political. Okay. Do not switch topics. Nope. Niggas is toxic.
Poppy shots don't always say it's something wrong. But
if you don't like it, what we saying, nigga? Oh, well. We try to tell you, baby, this might not go well. This might not go. Hey, that's it. One take. We not even doing it again. Keep that. That's the one.